Okay, let's get now to Ken Timmerman. Ken, these are indeed exciting times. A political phenomenon in the last almost 2 years has taken place. It's amazing what has happened, and in anticipation of the inauguration of Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States, I'm just in awe as to how all of this came together. Would you agree?
Well, it's been an extraordinary 2 years. The campaign, or a year and a half, I guess, since Trump announced his campaign in June of 2015. At the beginning, he was not taken seriously. His Republican contenders in the primary, all 16 of them, made that mistake one after the other. They did not take him seriously, and he wiped the floor with them. And he showed that he was a very astute politician, having never practiced the art of politics previously, and he bested all of those professional politicians to now become the president-elect of the United States.
Well, you know, you're right. He had never been a professional politician in any way, shape, or form. He was a TV star and has now risen to the most powerful man in the world. Do you have any way to explain how this happened?
Yes, he has instincts that are absolutely extraordinary. And for somebody who is a billionaire, he is connected to the people and to the pulse of the American people. He understood a number of really key things that the politicians did not understand. Number one, he understood that the American people were fed up with politics and fed up with the politicians and fed up with Washington that could get nothing done. And they were fed up, number two, with Obama and political correctness. They were fed up, number three, with Obamacare and a health care system which is run amok, where costs are just skyrocketing. And he understood that there is a popular movement out there. It began with a Tea Party, where Americans no longer trusted the media or the sources of information that they had traditionally been supplied with. They felt that the media was just trying to control them. And guess what? They were right. And Trump understood that. And I think you've seen that with his persistent attacks on the media, even just this week in his press conference on Wednesday, when he went after CNN as fake news. He said, "You are fake news." People love that, and they understand it. They get it. And it's what, I've got to say, a very, very large portion of the American public feels as well. So that's really what it is. Trump was able to zero in on the feelings and the desires of millions and millions of Americans who felt that nobody has been representing them and nobody's cared about them.
Let me remind you of the name of this program. It's Prophecy Today. We're not a program that basically goes political in its content. But with the inauguration of the next president just a day or two away, we felt like this was key to discuss it with our broadcast partners, because whoever leads the known world and is the superpower of the world is going to do things, make decisions that will affect the end time scenario that's found in God's Word. God has always used human government. I'll speak to that issue when we take a look at the book in just a moment. So that's why we are discussing these things with men like Ken Timmerman, who from the Washington, D.C. area is key to our understanding. Talk to me about the people surrounding him. First of all, his advisors. We'll get to the cabinet, but his advisors, what about them?
You look at people like Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani is going to stay on as an advisor. So is Newt Gingrich. I would call them part of the kitchen cabinet. They do not have official positions, although Giuliani has been given a role in framing the new administration's response to cyber warfare. So he has this kitchen cabinet of iconoclastic Republican figures, Gingrich and Giuliani in particular. He has his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who has turned out to be absolutely brilliant. He's the young man, I think he's in his early 30s, who ran Trump's data program. Nobody knew he had one. See, here you've got the national news media, CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, and they think they're so smart, and they're going out and trashing Donald Trump throughout the campaign, but they never actually investigate what he's doing because they don't take him seriously. So while they were out doing this thing publicly, Trump sent his son-in-law down to Texas, where he set up a data center with like 100 people in it, and they were the ones plotting out that electoral map that we saw shape up on November 8th. They were the ones who identified the audiences in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, these blue-collar workers whose lives had been destroyed by globalization, by these rotten trade deals, and said, hey, this is where you've got to go. These are the audiences you've got to reach. And so Jared Kushner is going to continue to play a very important role in this White House. We now know he's going to have an office in the White House, and people are grousing about that. President Kennedy nominated his own brother to be Attorney General. So, you know, nepotism has its limits when it's applied to the President of the United States.
Talk to me about President Trump's new cabinet.
Well, we've seen this past week the confirmation hearings of Attorney General-designate Jeff Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions, of the Pentagon chief-designate General Mattis, the intelligence chief-designate Mike Pompeo. And I think the most troubling was the State Department designee, Rex Tillerson. I think Tillerson's the one in the most trouble at this point. He's the, he was being grilled not just by Democrats about his view on sanctions and Iran and on Russia, but also, very importantly, by Marco Rubio. And Rubio has come out and said he's not sure he can vote for Tillerson out of committee, and if Rubio doesn't vote for him, his nomination could get blocked in the committee. Jeff Sessions, I think, is going to make it out because the Republicans are going to hold together when it comes to his nomination. But Rex Tillerson could have a problem.
Talk to me then about some of his promises that he's made and some quick answers. I've got a number of issues I want you to respond to. His promise, of course, of the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem.
Very interesting. I think that's going to happen. If the Israelis want it, I think it will happen. His ambassador designee says he will do it. Tillerson is supporting it. So if the Israelis are willing to provide the extra security in light of the open threat from the Palestinians, I think this is going to happen, finally.
How about the Iranian deal?
Well, the Iran deal is a little bit more complex. I've been looking at it in some detail recently. President Obama, knowing that he could not get full support from Congress, and 57 senators voted against it. Remember that. 57 senators voted against it, so you had a large number of Democrats, who voted against it. So President Obama went to the U.N. Security Council and had all of this enshrined in a U.N. Security Council resolution. So a little bit harder to undo. However, the Iranians have to hold up their end of the bargain. There's verification procedures. I think President Trump is going to focus in on verification. He's going to focus in on Iranian behavior, and he's going to tie them in a thousand knots through other procedures while not openly renouncing the nuclear deal. I think the nuclear deal will collapse of its own.
His policies as it relates to Russia.
Russia also is complicated. You heard General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense designee, clearly indicate that Russia is our really main adversary today. They are rapidly modernizing their nuclear weapons arsenal, their ballistic missiles, their ballistic missile submarines. And he took a pretty, a much more hostile attitude, I would really say a more realistic attitude towards Russia than President-elect Trump has done. Look, Trump is trying to downplay the animosity of Putin that Putin has showed to Obama and say, look, I'm a new leader, I can deal with this guy, I'm a businessman, but his cabinet designees have taken a remarkably different tone, and I think that really shows something about Trump's character. It shows that he is mature enough, smart enough, and self-confident enough to surround himself with people who are as smart as he is, if not smarter, and whose advice he's going to be taking.
And one final thought quickly, if you will. How's he going to deal with Islamic State terrorism, the global threat that it is?
Well, his nominees, again, have identified this as the primary challenge, the first agenda item in foreign policy. That's what Rex Tillerson said in the Secretary of State hearing. And I think you're going to see a full court press against the Islamic State, where the United States will work with our Arab allies, in particular the Saudis, Egyptians, and the Jordanians, also the Kurds in Iraq, and possibly Kurds elsewhere, to rout out the Islamic State, to smash them militarily, throw them out of the territory they currently occupy, and then to wage the war of ideas against this Islamist ideology, which is so deadly.
Ken Timmerman on the Catbird Seat in Washington, D.C. on this special edition of Prophecy Today, America and its new president, Ken, giving us some outstanding insight into this new administration here to administer the United States into the future. Ken, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Jimmy, my great pleasure. God bless.